Now let's look at Book 2, Chapter 4, which focuses on interest and usury. The title of this chapter is Of Stock Lent at Interest. Smith here is making some very basic points. First, that capital can be lent out at interest, and also he notes that the rate of interest on loans is regulated ultimately by the productive yield of lending out capital. If you lend out capital, the capital is used in production, that production yields a return, and in the long run there's an equilibrium relationship between the rate of interest and the rate of return on capital. Smith stresses that having more money in an economy, it raises prices and lowers the value of that money, but ultimately it does not lower interest rates. On this point, he sides with David Hume, whom he cites, and he is writing in opposition to, among others, the mercantilists. For Smith, the rate of interest and also the rate of return on capital, these are ultimately what economists call real or non-monetary phenomena. In the last few pages of this chapter, Smith serves up his famous critique of usury, usury being a word meaning to many lending out money at especially high rates of interest. This section of The Wealth of Nations is one of Smith's best known and also most controversial deviations from general principle of letting markets operate freely. Smith is quite specific in calling for a legally enforced maximum on loan rates of interest. Smith does make it quite clear that if you set the legally enforced maximum too low, as you might see in this diagram, there's a demand and there's a supply for loans, and if you set the rate too low, say down here, then most lending will dry up because the supply of lending simply will not be very high. Smith is opposed to that. Yet Smith has a different proposal and also a different way of thinking about this market. So again, let's imagine that we have here supply and demand, with price and quantity of funds, and here is our demand curve, but we have a few different supply curves. So the supply curve here out to the right, this might be something like safe mainstream banks, but the supply curve represented here out to the left, this could be, say, a supply curve for loan sharks or people who are used to lending at high rates of interest. What Smith is saying is that he wants most of the lending to occur down here at low rates of interest, so Smith wants a legal maximum on interest rates which is not much above the lowest market price. That would be something like here. Now, why does that make sense? What Smith wants to do is shut down these parts of the market represented here, the lenders who are giving out money at high rates of interest, because in Smith's view, it is only irresponsible and foolish borrowers who are willing to pay such high rates of interest for money, and that if you could enforce the lower rate down here, you would get a preponderance of safe borrowers supported by safe mainstream lending sources, and for Smith, you would get sounder economic activity. Note, of course, that at these lower rates of interest, banks simply aren't going to lend to the crazy and foolish people who take a lot of risks and might be willing to borrow at the higher rates. Of course, I'm not suggesting that Smith drew such a supply and demand diagram, and it's not the only way of thinking about the problem. It's just one way of trying to put Smith's argument in more modern terms. This short bit here sums up Smith's view, and I quote, "Sober people are universally preferred as borrowers to prodigals and projectors." For further information on this chapter, first I suggest you go to our videos on David Hume, in particular David Hume on interest. Also, a very strong critique of Smith on usury laws was written by Jeremy Bentham. That's called A Defense of Usury, and that's available free and online. You can Google to that. Finally, if you'd like a sense of just how advanced Smith was for his time, read some of the papers by Joseph Stiglitz and Andrew Weiss on credit rationing, and those came out in the late 1970s, early 1980s, and it's remarkable how much Smith saw ahead to these arguments, which later became quite important in the economics profession.